Okay, this is our last Sunday before we get our new sixth graders coming in, so we wanted to bring breakfast and celebrate the end of, you know, an era for you guys. What? Get all your disobedience out, what? I'm glad that you said that. Man, you and Bryson are just hitting on exactly what we're going to be talking about today. So, good job. Okay, what is the name of our class? Okay, why do we call it that? Yeah. Yeah, youth group, and we want you to grow. And so, where's our theme verse?
Ephesians 4:14-15.
Yes. I wore it today for you guys, so you can, in case you had forgotten, it's on my shirt. So, what is my or our expectation of you guys while you're in this class for 6 years?
Grow.
We want you to grow. And what'd you say?
Say grow.
Yeah, to just grow. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's 7 years, I guess.
Because all of you have that.
Yeah, you're going to grow physically automatically. But, so, you guys all know this, which is that it's good that you guys are all like repeating it like you have heard it a million times. Because I say it all the time because that's what we want for you guys. We want you to grow in your walk with the Lord. I tell you guys all the time, you got to be reading your Bible. You got to be praying. Like, those are the ways that we grow. You got to get involved in ministry. I know several of you guys are involved in soccer or AV booth, or you're in discipleship, things like that. So those are all good things. I feel like sometimes whenever I'm talking to you guys about like applying the things that we're talking about, sometimes I struggle to think of examples of ways that you guys can do that, because I know you're somewhat limited, especially the younger you are, the more limited maybe you are in being able to do some of the things that we talk about. And so I know like when we talk about getting involved in ministry, like that's a key thing for like a Christian to be able to give of their time and their talent and their treasure. Right? And so I know you guys don't have a lot of treasure because you're young, and a lot of you don't have jobs yet. And so the money, you know, isn't there for you to be able to give. And sometimes your time, like you guys have a lot of time, but there's maybe not a lot of ways for you to invest that, like in ministry wise, because, you know, a lot of ministries, you got to be able to drive a car to get there, or you got to be able to, which, by the way, did you take your test yet?
I wouldn't lie, we were too late.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Your birthday was like 2.5 weeks ago, dude.
Yeah. We're going to do it Monday.
No, can't freaking take me.
Hey.
All right.
That is cap.
I
took you on Friday.
How many times did you
take it on Brendan? He's only taken it once.
I'm not talking to you guys.
Okay. All right. I didn't mean to make Brendan the center of the attention. Okay. So anyway, sometimes it's difficult for you guys to be able to get involved and apply things. But the more I was thinking about this is, why do we spend so much time trying to get you guys to apply things that maybe you can't exactly apply? I mean, you can't apply a lot of the stuff we talk about. But I know some of you guys are homeschooled, or maybe you go to a Christian school. And so when I'm talking about, you know, you need to share the gospel with the people at school or the people at your job. Well, if you're not working and you're homeschooled, or you go to a Christian school, it may be difficult to share the gospel with people because, I mean, not everyone in a Christian school is saved. But, you know, like, it's maybe a little more difficult because a lot of them are, or think they are, or whatever. And so it can be difficult to do some of those things. But I started thinking about, so what we're trying to do is give you a foundation. And so when you build a house or a building or whatever, you start with the foundation, right? And so spiritually speaking, what's our foundation? Jesus Christ is our foundation, right? Once you get saved, Jesus Christ is the foundation. And then you build on that, you know, whatever you're going to build on it. You're going to build gold and silver and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, like he talks about in 1 Corinthians. But in maybe a more practical sense, like when you guys are in this class, the goal for us is to give you a foundation of principles and ideas and practices that maybe, while you can't necessarily directly apply all of them right now, when you're 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, you know, you want to get those things established, or those patterns established, or the principles established in your life early on. Because if you have a house and you have a bad foundation, you can repair the foundation later on, right? Like, you can go back in and they can dig out around the house and they can repair or support the foundation. But the best time to do it is before the house is built, right? So the best time for you guys to establish some of these patterns of reading your Bible and like just be thinking about ways that you can apply the things that we talk about, even if you can't directly do them now. Maybe you don't have money to give or you don't have the ability to get involved in ministry because of your parents or some other limitations. Just having the principles in place and understanding and be thinking about the ways that you might want to apply those things when you do have the ability to apply those things. Doing that before you get to be an adult and you get a routine established in your life and, you know, it's really hard to then go back and try and establish that foundation of having a walk with the Lord after you've got a different kind of foundation established. And so that's why we spend so much time talking about these things. Turn to Luke chapter 21. But that's why we spend so much time talking about these principles and these ideas, is that even if you don't fully, you know, apply them now, we really want you guys to have these principles and these foundations set in your life so that when you get older and you do have more opportunities, they're kind of already set in your life. So Luke chapter 21.
I'm reading there.
Yeah, nothing to do with the name.
Now I'm a little behind on my Through the Bible in a Year program, so I think I'm supposed to be done with Luke like a few weeks ago, but I'm still in it. So, all right, Luke chapter 21, verses 1-4. Somebody want to read it?
Sure.
Go for it.
And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have their abundance cast in unto the offering of God. But she of penury hath cast in all living that she hath.
Okay. So Jesus is talking about this, and it's Jesus's some of his words of wisdom when it comes to giving. And so this is obviously talking about financial giving. So he's talking about these guys, these rich men that show up, and they're throwing in, you know, a lot of money into the treasury at the temple. And then this woman comes up and she puts in two mites, which is, I mean, I've seen different things about what it actually is, but it's change, you know, it's like pocket change. So by comparison, money-wise, to what these guys are throwing in, it's nothing, right? I mean, it's literally almost nothing. Penury, by the way, means deficit or poverty. Or lacking. So Jesus is saying, you know, these guys are throwing in, they have so much money, and so what they're throwing in, you know, as a percentage or as how it impacts their life is small, right? I mean, even though maybe it's a lot of money, you know, it's not really that big of a deal to them. They have so much, and so it's easy for them to give. This lady is giving these two mites, but she's broke. She has nothing. And so, you know, percentage-wise or as how it's going to impact her life, it's a much bigger, it's a much bigger thing. And so, I want to talk to you guys about You have limitations on the ways that you can give financially, and you can give of your time, and you can give of your talent, right? You have some limitations on that. I'm not saying you guys don't have, you know, the ability to do some of that, but there's limitations. So like, when I first got my very first job, minimum wage was $5.15 an hour. And I think I worked, you know, 10 or 15 hours, maybe 20 hours a week. So I was making $80, $100 a week, something like that. Okay, and from the very first time that I got my first paycheck, I started putting 10% away. Well, 10% of $80 is like $8 a week, $32 a month. Okay, as a teenager, that's a decent amount of money, but that's not that much money, right? $32 a month is not that much money, or whatever it was at the time. I don't remember exactly, but just for rough figures. But the idea, though, is like the reason my parents encouraged me to do that is when I'm 15, and I have no bills, right? You guys have no bills or very little bills. I know you want to have money to be able to do things. And once you start driving, obviously, do you pay for any of your own gas and all that? No, okay. So you still have no bills. And I know as you get older, you're going to start having some of your own bills. You're going to be, you know, you need money for food, you need money for gas, you need money for, you know, stuff you want to do with your friends or whatever. And so some of that stuff you're going to have to start paying for. But as a teenager, your expenses are pretty limited, right? And so even if you get a little bit of money, it's much easier for you to put, you know, $8 a week out of your $80 a week than it is if you wait until you're an adult and you're making, you know, $1,000 a week, and now you got to start putting $100 a week away, $400 a month away, right? Or whatever the amount is that you make. You know, especially if you have kids and a family, and like, if you're at that point and you decide, okay, I want to start giving to God, I know I'm supposed to do that. It's a much harder to kind of carve that out if you've really established your life around, well, I make $4,000 a month, so I'm going to spend $4,000 a month. And then now you have to come up with a way to save 400 of that so you can give it to God. And so the reason I'm saying all this is it's important to start when you have just a little bit. Like when you only have a little bit to give and you start that practice in your life, you never go without giving that money. So like Brenda and I, from the time that I was working before we were married, I assume she was doing it before we were married as well. But definitely once we got married, I mean, from day one, is just giving 10%. We've never expected to have that. We've never lived as if we had that money. And so it made it a lot easier. I mean, when we were first married, we were making, like, almost nothing. I mean, we were making very little money, you know. And so it was easier for us to give. We didn't have any kids. Our bills were fairly low. Like, we didn't really care, you know, about it. Like, we had been practicing giving even before we were married. And so it was an easier thing to do. If we had never done it and we tried to start right now, based on the money that we make now and we had to start giving 10%, we would feel that a lot more than what we did when we did that at the time. And so the money is just like a small example. But as I was reading this passage and I was talking about this lady and she's giving everything that she has in a financial sense, it just reminded me that like when you're young and you have a limited amount of money, practice giving 10% of your little bit of money. It's going to be much easier if that's just a pattern that you establish at your age now. You know, you get some birthday money. It's weird. Not everybody does it, but you get $50 from your grandpa or your grandma or your parents or whatever. Put $5 in the offering. Save some of that money. You know, like, get those principles established in your life. It works the same way with all the principles that we're talking about. Like, when I'm talking about, you know, how do you share the gospel with your friends? You know, like, I'm not saying you have to stand up in front of your whole class and try to present the gospel to everybody all at once, right? Just make some small conversations with people and look for opportunities to, like, just bring God up. There was a kid that I went to high school with. He was in our youth group. I think it was his mom, actually, that said that she started, like, when she got saved, she started, when somebody would sneeze, instead of just saying, bless you, which is, like, what most people would say, she would be purposeful in saying, God bless you. And like, that's a really small thing. I try to do that too, pretty much ever since I heard her say that when I was a teenager. Is like, say God bless you. Like, when you say God's name out loud, even in a sense like that, like, it just helps you to, like, be less weird about saying Jesus. You know, like, if you say Jesus or God or something like that, not in a cursing context or a, you know, in a bad way, but if you're just incorporating that into the way that you talk and people hear you saying the name of Jesus or the name of God, you know, it makes it maybe easier to bring those things up. And I know it seems like, well, okay, saying God bless you is like not a big deal. And it really is not that big of a deal. But it's the practice that you put those like small baby steps of principles in your life. And I've told you guys before, you know, like when you get to school on Monday and people ask what you did that weekend, like say I went to church. Like that's one of the things I did this weekend is I went to church. You know, that might open up a door. You never know. It's a small thing to say, oh, I went to church on Sunday. You're just telling somebody what you did over the weekend. So it's small things. It doesn't have to start with you, you know, proclaiming the gospel and telling your friend they're going to go to hell because they're a sinner. Even though that's true, you know, start with baby steps, like little things that you can do at the age and the stage that you're at. Maybe you're not even comfortable trying to share the gospel because you're afraid they're going to ask questions that you don't know the answers to. And that might be true also. But, you know, just incorporate little things in it. If you tell your friends that, you know, hey, I went to church, they might remember that. Maybe then there's going to, when they have a question about God or eternity or, you know, creation or whatever, they might come to you and ask you because they remember that you went to church and that you brought that up. And so look for ways to start small, whether it's giving financially, whether it's sharing the gospel with somebody, whether it's reading your Bible, you know, start with a couple of verses. Start with a chapter in Proverbs. Start with a psalm. You know, most of those are pretty short. You can read those in less than a minute or two. You know, like they're pretty easy reads. Start with something small. Start with a book like 1 Samuel. I've told you guys how much I love the book of 1 Samuel. It reads like a story. It's so easy to read. You can sit down and read the whole book of 1 Samuel in, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half maybe. I don't know how fast you read or whatever. But, you know, I mean, a lot of you guys like to read books, and you can sit down for hours at a time and read books. And I know it's different, but, you know, like start small and ease your way into it and give a little until you can give a lot. And whatever sense that looks like. Like I said, I know a lot of you guys are involved in CSA, you know, whether you're playing or whether you're helping coach or whatever. That's a small thing, but it's something. Like you're exercising that muscle. And we do all of that so that when we get older and we have more time and more talent and more treasure to give. And by the way, when you get older, you actually have less time to give because it gets eaten up with other things. Yeah, so you get busier. The older you get, the busier you get. It just, that's the way that it works. So you maybe have less time, but usually you have more money and maybe you have more talent, you have more skills that you've accumulated, but practice using those in whatever way that you can. And so, one of the practical ways that I want to challenge you guys, going to Hallie's point and what Bryson was saying earlier, one of the small things that you can do, especially when we have new kids coming in, is attitudes, right? Just have a good attitude. Be nice and welcoming. Like, whether it's to the kids that are coming up, which I know most of them are little siblings of your guys's, and so some of you guys are not that excited about them coming in here. I get it. We're working on separating everything out this fall, so it'll be a little bit easier for the older kids to be separated from their younger siblings. But not for you, Elias. You're going to have another year together with your brother, but it is what it is. But anyways, have a good attitude. When's the last time that we had a guest here, a first-time guest, that you said hi to? You know, we have first-time guests not every Sunday or every Wednesday by any means, but we have first-time guests from time to time, and I observe you guys not really engaging with these people. And I know it's weird to go up to somebody that you don't know and try to introduce yourself to them, but baby steps. Just say hi. Just smile at them. You know, ask them a question. You know, where do you go to school? You know, whatever. I don't know. Whatever you want to ask them. But, like, take some baby steps. Try to exercise your faith a little bit. You know, like live out some of the things that we talk about. Have a good attitude as best as you can. You guys are the older kids, and I know that you maybe don't really think it, but the younger kids, most of them will not say it to you. Adeline and Lincoln and Ethan, they're not going to come in here and say, you know, oh yeah, we definitely look up to you guys. Like, they won't say that out loud. But the truth is that they do, though. If you guys remember whenever you were that age, or think about kids that are, you know, 5 to 10 years older than you, you want the older kids to like you. You want the older kids to think that you're cool. You want the older kids, like, we always want that. Like, all of us want that of people that we're around. Even as an adult, like, you want people to accept you. You want people to, like, think that you're something, right? And so, whether it's you guys with the little kids that come in, or it's a guest that comes to visit, or it's you guys looking up to older kids that, you know, recently graduated, or, you know, kids that are in college, like, you might look at them and think, I would like to be accepted by those people. You know, I would like it if those people thought that I was cool in some way. And so you guys have the opportunity to do that with these kids that are coming up, even if they'll never say it out loud. And I really don't think that any of those three would probably ever say out loud that they want you guys to think that they're cool. But the truth is that they do. They do want that. And all of us want that. And so just look for ways, small baby step ways. I'm not asking anybody to, like, do something totally crazy and way outside your comfort zone. But you take baby steps. That's how you grow in anything. And so if we're going to call ourselves You Grow, and we're going to start in sixth grade, and we're going to go all the way up to 12th grade, and we're going to grow physically, and the idea is that we're going to grow spiritually, but we don't ever take any steps forward, then we're not actually growing. We're growing physically because you can't stop that, but we're not growing spiritually if we don't, like, take some baby steps and try to practice some of these things. And so do what you can with what you have. God knows what you have. God knows what your abilities are. God knows the access that you have to people who are lost. God knows, you know, all those things. And I don't know all those things about all of you guys, but God knows what you can do and what you are doing. And all of us can do more. I mean, I can do more with what I have, right? financially, my time, my talent. I can do more with those things. So I'm not asking anybody to be perfect, but take some small baby steps. So when people come into this class, if you guys think something is stupid that we're doing, a game that we're playing you don't want to play, or it's an activity that you don't like, or I'm teaching on something that's boring, or, you know, whatever, like, if you act that way, then other people are going to think that way. The younger kids especially are going to look at you and think, well, if they think it's dumb, I don't want to think that it's cool because I want them to think that I'm cool. So I'm also going to say that it's dumb. And it starts this whole snowball the wrong way. And so I'm not asking you guys to be fake, by the way, either. I don't want you guys to pretend that everything's great even when everything's not great. But just like try to have a good attitude. Try to be a positive influence, not just because we have new kids coming in, but be a positive influence on each other. Your guys' attitude towards life impacts the people that you're sitting next to right now. It does, you know, it always does. The way that you interact with the people around you, that rubs off on other people, and that rubs off on the whole class and the whole situation. Yeah, I have to park you on this back one.
Well, you have to. Anyways, that's all I have.
Let's pray. Does anybody have any questions about any of that?